brightest minds from around the world. This is Nerds That Know. Stash here, along with my wonderful cornucopia of co-hosts. Please, one and all, actually introduce yourself this week.
Fox here. And I'm so happy to be.
Bobby is here as well.
Hey, it's Nox here.
And of course, Smurf.
Damn it. I thought we were doing so well until that last name got dropped in there.
You're such a bastard.
And you had to throw in that little wicked giggle.
It's not my fault. You know, I have actually been paid for my giggle.
To stop doing it, right?
Look, I don't know.
Someone paid you to stop doing it.
No, it has actually been in films and commercials. I have actually been paid voiceover work for just my laugh. They just said, we don't want you to talk. We just want your laugh. It's very sinister. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So there you go.
It does have a Sideshow Bob quality to it, I guess.
Doesn't it? Very maniacal.
Oh my God. Well, we have a lot of things to talk about tonight, because even though we're still in crazy COVID mode and quarantine is, you know, doing its peaks and valleys and crazy and everything, there's still a lot of stuff that's going on. Starting with the fact that Hamilton was released on Disney Plus last week.
And it was.
It has been a huge craziness. It has actually increased the Disney Plus downloads, I think they said, by 42% last time I checked the numbers.
Oh, it crushed
wow.
it.
Because Disney Plus was not allowing Hamilton during their 7-day free trial period. So if you wanted to watch it, you actually had to sign up for their membership.
Yep.
Wow.
So everybody went fucking nuts. The quizzes that have come out and the articles and just all of the everything and the comparisons and the videos. And oh my God, people are Hamill crazy. It's like it's 2016 all over again.
You know, it was extremely impressive. I've got the main title song like permalooped in my head for the last few days. And
Alexander Hamilton.
That is it right there, ladies and gentlemen. If there's no. one song you walk away with from this, it is that one right there.
No way. It's the one.
It's nope. the King song. The King is the best.
Da, 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 da,
there it is. Da, da, da,
da, da. How much of this am I allowed to sing for copyright reasons?
King's youngest daughter was having some difficulties with the fireworks on the 4th of July. So I was just, you know, trying to hum to her, sing, and, you know, kind of get her to calm down. And for whatever reason, the King's song popped into my head, and the Diet of Atadaz, like, just calmed her right down, made her so happy, 18 months old, and she's all like, you'll be back, and, you know, just totally into it.
let's be fair, that's one of the most impressive performances I've seen in my entire life. Like, that specific role. Sorry, go ahead, Fox.
Jonathan Groff is on the stage for a total of 9.5 minutes. That's it. That's how long you see the King. 9.5 minutes.
And he does a great job. He's very, very memorable for that 9.5 minutes. I was going to say that I have been waiting a long, long time to see Hamilton, and I was just absolutely blown away. Like, it's much more like an opera in that there are no speaking parts. It's all singing or rapping.
There are actually a few speaking parts that are not on the album. So there are very few. It's a total of, and I actually, like, I listened to an interview done by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and it's approximately 8.5 minutes of speaking that is not done to music.
It's a little awkward at first to get used to everyone rapping. But once you kind of settle in, you're kind of like, all right.
Did you not know that there was going to be rapping?
I had no idea. All I knew
You've heard this music before. I've driven you in my car. I know you've heard the music.
I've heard the music, but I thought it would be like Chicago or, you know, Guys and Dolls, where it's like broken up with some dialogue. I didn't know it had this life, this rhythm all of its own. So it was fun, and it was surprising, and it was unique. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was like hanging out with, you know, the OG NWO of 1776.
You know, and what's really interesting about all of the rapping is every single character raps in a different style.
Yes.
They all rap in a different technique. And even when an actor from the first set, you know, from Act 1, switches over to play an actor for a different character in Act 2, which you'll find that's true of most of the main characters, their rap style changes. So Lafayette, who also plays Jefferson.
He plays Madison. No, you're right. No.
Lafayette plays Jefferson.
Yes.
Who's Hercules the other guy who played Madison?
Hercules.
Hercules Mulligan.
Hercules.
He plays Madison.
Yeah, and as Mulligan, his body language and his rap style is different than when Madison.
Well, the whole aspect of it is based on, you know, the New York style, the different boroughs having different aspects. He actually based all of it on that.
Very true.
Because each borough has its own style of rapping, you know, where they have the big bebop stuff and then the heavy instrumental stuff and everything. And he actually designed a lot of it. You can hear little bits and pieces. He actually samples a lot of the music off of hip-hop songs. Mm-hmm. You can actually hear parts of Curtis Blow songs and Wu-Tang Clan and Nas and all that in the music and in the pattern of the rhyming. It's actually pretty interesting how he put it all together that way.
No, I was actually really concerned when I found out that Hamilton was going to be edited for Disney Plus, because it was. It is not how it appears on Broadway.
Ah.
But the editing is so minimal. He takes a few swear words out. The word fuck appears in the show 5 times, and it does not appear in Disney Plus.
They do just, like, they like stop, they pronounce the F and then don't say the rest of the word for all of them.
Not for all of them. Some of them, it's completely gone out of the song.
Hmm.
And then the sex scene with Reynolds, when she's in the red dress and she sits on his lap and she runs his hand over her body, in the choreography on the Broadway version, they actually have her, you know, elevated over him laying down, and it's much more intense. They're still fully clothed in the Broadway version. And obviously this was actually shot during two different, because this was the version that's on Disney Plus was shot over the course of 2 days, two different times with audience, and then 3 run-throughs with no audience. That way they could get all of the different angles.
Cool.
So it's a total of 5 times of that performance being completely run through to make it just that one time.
Wow.
But yeah, it's incredible.
Oh yeah. I had never seen it. Steph saw it obviously a couple years ago when you guys went up to New York. I hadn't seen it yet, but the music really drew me in. I'm not much of a musical fan, to be honest, but the way that he produced the music really drew me into it.
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda has this way of bringing in people to music that started when he did In the Heights, because that was a musical that really spoke to people. You know, because that's a show about Washington Heights, you know, and it has the black guy and the Puerto Rican girl and the one white guy here. And, you know, Abuela and the taxi company and the, like, all of these other little things that all blend together to make the neighborhood. And all of them, they actually will sing in their native languages. When he worked with on West Side Story, he translated all of the songs that the sharks sing, not just into Spanish, but into Puerto Rican Spanish, which is different than Mexican Spanish or Spain Spanish or whatever. Because, you know, every version of Spanish, like English, has a dialect. So he has the Puerto Ricans on in West Side Story singing Puerto Rican. And so he is getting, you know, he is known for finding a way to connect people to the music and to the theater in a way that has not been done before. Because he makes it something that anybody and everybody can connect to in a way you don't realize, oh my God, I just watched a musical.
I mean, the man's a genius.
And he's cute.
He's pretty cute, yeah. And he's friends with the McElroy brothers. It's a whole package.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed how they did the cabinet battles, and they basically presented it like a rap battle.
I was going to bring that up. They were handing out the microphones, and I turned to Stash, and I was like, it's going to be a rap battle.
It totally is. It is 100% a rap battle. I loved how they did it.
You know, I mean, even the way Jefferson does the mic drop and then Madison catches it.
Yeah, he's tagging him in. I love it. It was my favorite musical, so I don't know. I guess that's something.
I mean, it's incredible, and I'm really glad that it's available to the masses.
Yeah, I will say it is probably the most impressive and most perfect musical I've ever seen. It's not necessarily my favorite, and it wasn't really my cup of tea, but just in terms of the art and the execution, I don't think I'll ever see a play as perfect as that one was. Like, it was incredible. The acting, the lights. I always try and find like the little blips in theater, and I couldn't find a single one in the entire course of that film.
No, they were like, I mean, on point.
They even have the bullet that kills Hamilton, as well as the bullet that kills his son. The bullet is a character. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but the
bullet
is played by the same woman throughout the entire show.
Yep, hiding in the background.
And she is a character unto herself. And so, like, there's a scene before Hamilton's son goes into the theater to challenge, you know, for the duel. And he's flirting, and he's all like, you know, later, let's have this conversation with our clothes off. And he's flirting with death. The woman who plays the bullet is the woman he's wanting to, you know, have sex with and have this whole conversation thing with. And then later you see her as the bullet hit him.
Down goes Frasier.
And it's just this intense, like, oh my God, the bullet is its own character.
Yep, it is definitely worth watching.
So, okay, if we don't change topics now, we're going to have 90 minutes of guest on Hamilton.
Yeah, you're going to stay on it all night.
Okay, so, Stash, what the hell is Guns Akimbo? You know I'm not the gamer type.
Oh, it's not a game, it's a movie.
Ah, okay, and cool. And what is that?
It's actually the movie I was watching before I watched Hamilton with Fox. And imagine everything Hamilton, and this movie is everything that is not Hamilton.
It is like, no, it's shit. Is this
No, it's actually like really, really funny.
Is this like Sharknado funny, or is this like actual funny?
I would have to leave that to your discretion. I thought it was super funny.
Yeah, but you know, Sharknado.
It's that kind of humor. Like, it kind of makes fun of video games, and it makes fun of all sorts of stuff, but it has
Daniel Radcliffe.
All those, like,
oh yes, I've seen
people.
All of the various memes with him in the bathrobe and the guns.
Yeah, and it is, oh God, it's so funny. Like, just it toys with like nerd culture in some very interesting ways, and it toys with the portrayal of video games in another medium in a very interesting way, and it turned out to be a lot better than I was expecting. I was expecting an hour and a half of just mindless action, but there's pretty solid character development. There's damn decent acting, I would say, except for one guy who's like the worst actor ever, but he has a like tattoo on his face, so it's to be expected.
Mike Tyson?
No, he plays a character who has like a skull, like the outline of a skull tattooed on his face. He looks like an idiot.
Oh.
I think you'll be surprised to find, Smurf, that there's more than one person in the world that has a face tattoo, and also in the movies, they can just paint it on. They don't make you get a face tattoo.
They don't? Oh my God!
Were you telling me that every tattoo I've ever seen on TV isn't real?
I'm sorry. I know this must be just like finding out about Santa Claus. You know, I've
what about Santa?
Well, you guys heard about Shia LaBeouf's like real tattoo that he got, right?
That's what I was about to say.
I did
like,
not.
Everyone can be as dedicated as Shia, apparently.
Yeah.
He's like,
he got a full chest piece.
It's huge. Makes up his entire chest.
Yeah, his chest, three quarters of his stomach. It's like, it's a massive piece, and it's for his upcoming film, and he decided to just get it permanently tattooed.
Aha! Mm-hmm.
See? What is it of?
Holy shitballs, why?
Because he's nuts?
It's all cartel-related stuff.
Man,
I'm sorry, what? He got gang tattoos? Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did he get them in the traditional sense, like with an ink pen and urine in a prison?
No.
I don't believe so, but that would be
Well, then they're not legit, and they don't count.
But in their right mind.
They're a giant tattoo across his chest, so they count for something.
Yeah, they count for him being a pussy-ass bitch.
Yeah, why would you get a tattoo for a gang that you're not in? Is it a fictional gang?
Maybe. I don't know. The movie's not even out yet.
If it's a real game, if it's a real gang, he's going to watch out.
He's just so weird.
You know what? He should just go back to like being in holes and eating sweet onions and whatever.
No, he's a very skilled dancer, so he should continue dancing. I will give him that. And oh my God, I watched
living in holes and eating sweet onions.
Yeah, I watched Peanut Butter Falcon, and he is incredible in that movie.
How was the movie on the whole?
Peanut Butter Falcon, it was really, really good. It like tugged at the heartstrings. It was a brilliantly constructed movie. Characters were exceptional. Writing was just unreal. I haven't seen a movie that was that well written in a long time. It's really like, it is a really good movie. Again, it's one of those things that wasn't really my cup of tea, but I appreciate the art of it. And this was definitely a incredible work of art, and apparently it has actual pro wrestlers in it, if that's your cup of tea.
Of course it is.
I don't know. I was recommending it to some people at work, and they freaked out.
E or whatever it's called now, and you know,
I don't know. My ignorance of wrestling is complete.
Tank, help us out here.
What? Sorry.
You know things about the wrestling and the stuff.
I know some things.
Well, we established our credibility, guys. That's all we needed. One person knows something about wrestling. That's all we needed.
Okay.
I mean, I need to know, you know, I know some things, mostly older wrestling. I haven't really watched it recently.
All I know is right now they're wrestling in an empty stadium and all the wrestlers crowd around the ring and like cheer on the wrestlers who are wrestling.
Shut up. Is that real?
That's 100% real.
Oh my God.
Are they beating up the wrestlers if they fall out of the ring?
I don't know. I've never watched wrestling. Well, I can't say that. I haven't watched wrestling in 15 years. But I know that's definitely a thing because the people at my work are quite big fans of it and they make fun of it and show me videos and clips of it all the time. It's so stupid. Wrestling is dumb. But I mean, I guess that's its appeal. So
easy there, Beast.
It's an art form like any other.
That's right.
Yeah. You wrestling nerds, you do your pile drivers and your fake kicks and your throwing chairs at people. Is that still a thing? I feel like that was a thing.
I think that's not still a much, thing.
But yes, I guess to a certain extent it probably is. But they outlawed a lot of that stuff not too long ago, like 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got rid of a lot of the more...
Yeah, not that long ago, only a decade
aspects
ago.
Of stuff.
Man. World's crazy. Wrestling's
right.
Crazy.
So
back. Oh, Guns Akimbo.
Wrestling is weird. Okay, Steph.
Yes. Guns Akimbo. Very funny movie. It's free on Amazon Prime.
Okay, Dark. That was the other thing we wanted to talk about.
Has anyone else seen Dark?
That one of them not.
Okay, well, Dark is probably, oh my God, it is such a good TV series. It's a German science fiction series that's on Netflix. The third season just came out, and one of my favorite podcasts is going to do a deep dive into it. And I wanted to start it before they got around to it, and it captivated me. I watched an entire season in one night and needed like three nights of palate cleansers to clear my brain afterwards. Because it's in the name. It is dark. It is ominous. It is eerie. It is freaky. There's incest. It's crazy. It's super cyclical. It's very scientific. It deals a lot with like the theoretical application of science to time travel and like what exactly that means and the paradoxes contained here therein.
Is this one also on Amazon or is this one on Netflix?
This one's on Netflix.
Okay, cool.
And it's German, but they have English dubbing. And I made it about 10 seconds with English dubbing on, and I was like, what the fuck is this? It's bad. It's so bad. But it is the only thing I've ever watched with subtitles where I frequently rewind and rewatch because I can't pay attention to the subtitles and everything they're doing on the screen at the same time because it is a very visceral television show, and everything is important, everything is woven together, and the smallest details end up being very important. It is awesome. It is like a genuine recommendation from me. It is so good. I'm shocked. And honestly, like the way it ended the first season, I didn't see how they would continue it because like how they ended it, just it was perfect. But instead of
was it Black Mirror and the dark creepiness of that?
No, it's very different. It's I can't think of a good way to describe it. Just imagine the most German television show you possibly can, and then add like depression to it. And that's pretty much like the tone of the series. And it's, yeah, it's incredibly, it's captivating. I can't think of another way to describe it. The acting is so good, and the way they deal with time is something that has never really been done in a TV show before. It's been done in books and in, I guess I can think of a couple of time movies that deal with it in the same way. If not exactly, but it is so well done.
Cool. It's in the queue.
All right. Watch it and learn from it, because it will teach you a lot, especially like if you know the basic applications of like science, when it looks, when science applies to time. Uh-huh. And like the theory of time travel, you'll uh-huh. gain a lot more from this than you will just as a layman. But even as a layman, it is a very enjoyable, thrilling, highly suspenseful series.
All right. Him.
Cool. Okay. Have to check it out.
Speaking of shows on Netflix, Umbrella Academy season 2 trailer has dropped.
Yes! Oh, I'm so excited. I just watched it before we started recording.
Like, I wish it was already out. I am so fucking ready to find out what the hell is happening.
So, I'm curious. Am I, like, the only person that remembers them turning into kids at the end of the first season?
No, I totally remember them turning into kids at the end when he does the time travel thing and they're all holding hands and they revert back.
Yeah, so...
What looks?
I even rewatched Umbrella Academy just to make sure I was actually remembering it correctly.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
We had the discussion about that happening, and some people said it did, and some people said it didn't.
No, it happened. But what I think ends up happening is the time travel is not precise, and they end up back at different points in time in the 70s.
Yeah, but why are they all adults?
Well, the problem... And they kind of touch on this because it's not an exact science. His body reverted and it reacts differently with people. So they may have started as kids, and as they went through, they came back through as adults. It's just very imprecise science. And they laid that down in like the very first or second episode explaining 5.
Yeah, and that's why he comes back as a child, and he never aged in all of the years that he was in the alternate timeline.
No, he aged. He aged to the ripe old age of an old man. But when he came back through back in time, he reset his body somehow. And he doesn't know how he did it.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe it was like he fucked up the timeline and sent all of them back further than he thought. And like he didn't go as back far in time.
And it's possible.
They had time to age forward again. The only discrepancy I have with that is, like, Luther is still, like, crazy monster, and... Yeah,
he's still like, wonky.
Yeah, that means, like, that couldn't have been undone, which doesn't really, like,
well,
logically
didn't that happen to him as a kid?
No,
it happened to him as an adult.
Yeah, it's like a 4-year difference between him becoming a monkey and... present time when the group gets all back together.
I
was kind of hoping Luther could have been unmonkeyed.
No, he stays monkeyed.
I wanted him unmonkeyed too.
I'm excited about Ben. Ben is the one that cracks me up.
I was gonna say that. It looks like he's gonna be in the show a little bit more, a little more prominent role.
Well, I think because Klaus sobers up, Ben can stick around. And we saw that Klaus's powers can actually bring forth dead people, especially Klaus having Ben around. Holy crap. He cleaned out that whole auditorium at the end. If it wasn't for him, they would have gotten wasted.
Yeah, Klaus is kind of a badass when his brother is on his side.
Yes, Klaus is my favorite out of all of them, by far.
Yeah, that's because he's awesome.
He's the cutest.
Yeah, he's very your type, Fox.
He looks like he looks like a pirate.
I don't know if I like, so obviously I am attracted to him. I also want to be him. Like, ideally.
All right.
You can have it both ways. Nobody says you can't.
Thanks to modern science, yes, I can.
Dun, dun, dun. But, I mean, all in all, like, the whole trailer, the new twin villains look spectacular.
The goldfish.
I wonder how many of the goldfish other children we're going to meet.
The goldfish for a head. That is spectacular.
I really want to meet all of the other children that the professor couldn't find.
Yes, and I have a feeling we'll be seeing a lot more of them.
Right, because like that's something that I really want.
And Hazel. Hazel's an old man. I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad because they really turned his character around, and I was so curious what would happen with him. Because I honestly thought they would just leave him.
And it's so weird seeing him in this role after watching him on another show where he's a serial killer. And he's got these big, thick Coke bottle glasses. He's in prison, and he just talks really slow and meticulous. And, oh, my God, it's creepy to see him, like, play normal. Well, Abby normal, anyway.
As normal as anybody in Umbrella Academy actually is.
Yes. So by far, it's going to be the battle royale again this year between Umbrella Academy and The Boys, because The Boys season 2 trailers also landed almost like they're competing with each other, since one's on Netflix and one's on Amazon.
Yeah, The Boys, like, you remember what they're doing with The Boys, right? They're doing the first half of the season, and then they're spacing out an episode each week for like 4 weeks or something like that?
Actually, they adjusted that, and they have gone strictly to just a weekly release. They're not going to dump everything at once. It's just going to be every week there will be a new episode. So similar to what Disney does and all of that. So they adjusted that.
I don't know. I'm torn between whether or not I like that. I mean, yes, it's better for the streaming service. It's better for the fact that then we don't go, 12 hours straight binge watching it and then piss and moan for the next 12 months.
You know, I like it because it adds the suspense back to the show. It gives you a little time to process and come up with your own theories, because when you just deep dive it, I think you lose a lot of the show because they feed it to you. You're not sitting there trying to, like, run it through in your mind to see where it goes. Because The Mandalorian, I don't want a big dump dive on that. I want it every week. I want it paced out, because that was perfect for that show.
I mean, with some of the shows I used to watch, with my family growing up, like, part of my favorite part of watching those shows was then sitting around afterwards with my mom and my sisters and talking about, oh my God, what's going to happen next week? What
mm-hmm. mean? Yeah. And I think that's the way it should be.
With the Power Rangers, and who's going to be the new White Ranger, and what happens to the Green Ranger?
You lost me on that right there. I'm out.
I'm a child of the '90s. Just accept it and move on.
You will shut your mouth, Smurf, and respect our childhood.
I'm out. I don't get Power Rangers. I don't get it.
Rushing home from the bus stop in all of like fifth grade, being like, oh my God, I have to know what happened.
You just wanted to see Tommy or whoever it was dance around for half an hour.
This is accurate. Actually, in fairness, I had a bigger crush on Adam than any of the other Power Rangers.
So, speaking of shows, the other one that's kind of like bothering me, and it's not a big surprise, is Stargirl, which is killing it on the CW. This show, I was actually hugely skeptical of this show. I thought it was going to be another teeny drama and just annoying as fuck. I couldn't be more wrong. This show is driven more by the villains than by the heroes, and it has been amazing to watch. They've even brought the Shining Knight into this series, and I about flipped my lid when I saw that they actually brought him in. I was excited as fuck to see this. So this show has been a huge hit. Jeff Johns being part of it, and it is really good. It going to DC streaming pisses me off. That annoys me.
Yeah. I think that we're going to end up seeing a lot of things like that where they're like, hey, this is doing really good on this free thing. So what we should do is we should make people start paying for this shit.
Oh, you're going to see this more because HBO Max has got their fingers in DC now and DC streaming. So you're going to see the CW slowly dissolve away. They're going to take all of those properties. Why wouldn't they? They've been successful, they're established, and they can make them better. So I think this is the beginning of the end. Of course, Stargirl has been available on Monday nights if you have the DC streaming, and it's been available on Tuesday for CW for network broadcast. So I would like to see them stay with that. But all in all, this show in my mind is actually probably better than half of the other CW DC driven shows.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree 100%.
It's great. But what I've seen so far, I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the best, if we're being real about it, the best comic book stories are because the villains.
Mm-hmm.
Villains drive the hero. If you have better villains, the story is going to be more interesting. And that's the approach that they took with it. And it was brilliant, honestly.
Yeah, they wiped out all of the heroes. Let's start fresh. The villains not only are established, but rich and influential and awesome.
And dominating.
And they are, yeah, absolutely. It's Nebraska, that's fine, but they are dominating, and it's glorious. I'm absolutely in love with how they approach this series.
I mean, they made Nebraska interesting.
And coming from somebody who grew up in Nebraska or near Nebraska, you know, that's impressive.
Make Nebraska interesting. Yay!
I mean, Tank.
And you know what? Luke Wilson in this role as Stripe has been a perfect fit. It's like it was like written for him. Amy Smart in there as the mother. All the villains have been perfect. I can't be very happier with this series.
My only problem is now I have to get another motherfucking streaming service.
I'll give you my login.
Yeah, you can get.
You're my favorite of all of my brothers-in-law.
Can I have that too? Because I still want to watch some DC. The Titans are talking about, you know, bringing in, is it Wonder Girl? And a couple of other, they're bringing in Bart, aren't they also, for Teen Titans?
They're reaching back to the original Titans team, it looks like. And they're going to bring in, the Cosmic Titans, is, I guess, the best good way to put it.
Yeah.
They're going to bring in, like...
I have a lot of brothers in line. You are by far my absolute favorite.
But yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Stargirl. Now, if you're tired of us talking about TV and you want to move on to something else, thankfully, we know where to go next. Here's your latest update on conventions. And another titan has fallen as Dragon Con pulls the plug on the 2020 season. And this is no surprise to any of us.
They are one of the last to fall, and it is one of the biggest conventions of the year.
Well, New York has yet to announce, but I know firsthand that Javits Center is still kind of like the convention center here, where they've got like the triage set up for COVID. So unless they pull all that down overnight to set up for New York Con in October, but New York is the last big one left.
And that's not likely. I mean, for real, with as big of an issue as New York had to begin with, and the fact that they're not ridiculously spiking right now, they're not going to take that chance.
The New York governor told Trump that after his 4th of July gathering where everybody was not wearing masks, he wasn't welcome in his state until he did a 14-day quarantine and got tested for COVID. So I don't think he's going to let a big convention happen.
Probably not.
I mean, the reason these conventions are being canceled so late is usually because they would need the city to cancel the convention so that they can get their money back for what they paid for the property.
Exactly.
It's usually like everyone knew Dragon Con was going to be canceled, but the government actually has to step in. Otherwise, the convention forfeits their deposit on the convention center.
Not just deposit in some instances.
Yeah.
Deposit plus potential revenue.
Yeah, so all of that that's the main contributor. Like, I don't think any rational person thinks any convention is going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, not any real size convention. Maybe a few of the smaller ones will be able to squeak by, but we're not going to see any major conventions this year.
So Dragon Con has announced that they will refund people if you want to just roll your membership over from this year to the next. They're absolutely happy to keep your money. And they're also letting vendors back out or with the same option of just rolling to next year based on your financial situation. So Dragon Con is completely accommodating everybody. And that's fine, because you know what? It's just one long party and everybody wants to go to the party. I don't see anyone not wanting to go to Dragon Con, mask or not.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the thing about that convention. I'm glad to see they're refunding everything. I know a few conventions have been really nasty about refunds.
Yes.
We won't refund your money, but you'll get your ticket next year.
Yes.
It's like, that's, yeah.
Well, and Planet Comic Con also canceled the extended date, which was supposed to be in August, to next year. So Planet Comic Con also pulling the plug, which is kind of sad because Planet's actually a good collector con.
Yeah, and then San Diego is completely virtual this year, which actually has the city of San Diego a little worried about income sources, revenue, and tourism. But San Diego Comic-Con has done a full release of their guest lists and panels and everything else like that. It won't be the same as actually attending a con, but there also won't be the same lines. So, yeah.
Honestly, I'm probably not going to attend any digital convention because, I mean, just sitting down listening to a famous person like lecture at their camera isn't really the entertaining part of conventions.
I mean, it's an excellent question.
And do the panel.
Well, I mean, Marvel releases its full like week-long schedule of who's going to be doing what for streaming, and I can only with San Diego, I can only see just a huge lag when it comes to the digital side. Because people are going to get knocked out. They're not going to be able to support the bandwidth. Even just doing like video sales locally, there's constant problems, there's constant delays, and there's an endless supply of lag. So I don't know if this is going to go exactly how they're planning, and I'm expecting more flack at the end of it than anything else. I don't think anyone's going to really be too happy with the experience.
Hey, quick question for Stash. When did you become a robot frog?
I've always been a robot frog.
Okay.
Anybody else getting that? Is anybody else hearing that super weird sound on Stash's voice?
Yeah, it sounded like Darth Vader or something.
Oh, No, I think it might have been because my mom was calling me.
Okay. Does that automatically just change your voice?
Like your mother.
No, but like it changed the like it muted you guys. I missed your entire dialogue and was trying to figure out what the hell was going on. So it might have pixelated my voice.
Yes, you sounded like a Cylon.
I would rather sound like a robot frog. Thank you very much.
It pixelated your voice? Okay, we'll go with that.
Pixelated over prickelated. Huge difference.
You know, tomato, tomato, it's Stash. I've decided to not understand him years ago, so we just roll with it.
It's a good choice.
Okay, so jumping around just a little bit, you know, DC Universe released a view of The Robin King. Posted the article about it. And, like, creepy as hell on these images.
Well, yeah. Which is awesome.
So, Tank, you want to kind of go into some more detail about this as our comic book aficionado, you and Smurf.
As unfortunate as it is, there isn't a lot of info yet. He's going to be officially making the
buckle, and oh my god, he looks creepy.
Yeah, he's going to be making his first appearance in Dark Knight's Death Metal 2, which should be, what, in a week or 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. And they're hinting at the idea that he's going to be even more ruthless than the Batman Who Laughs, which is kind of interesting considering how psychotic and ruthless the Batman Who Laughs was.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do we know which Robin this is?
No, we don't. But I'm assuming we're gonna find.
Because I haven't been able to find that out.
If they're playing up the crazy angle, I mean.
Well, the funny thing is, it could be kind of a page from the Batman Who Laughs weird crossover where he's got the three Robins on chains. So it could be any one of them. So we may have already had a first appearance and we're getting a backstory for the character. Because this week, the DC Planet Death issue number one came out. Planet of Death. And it's revisiting a story that they ended 2 years ago. So it's building up again with going back to the universe that everything goes wrong. And it's really some good. Even their Wonder Woman is just sadistically awesome. I loved that Wonder Woman.
You're taking her right now. Like, seriously, do not piss this bitch off.
I'm telling you, the deceased Wonder Woman was badass, and she was just vicious. I loved it.
Seriously, this woman will eat your brains, and then shit them out and make you eat them.
Well, maybe I can see that. So we'll see. I mean, I'm excited. The first issue was incredibly dark, weird. Kind of abstract. I'm going to go with abstract. The first issue was a little abstract as it's trying to find its footing, I think, picking up from a couple of years ago and trying to find its stride because it's the same creative team that brought us the first go-around. So I think they're just kind of trying to reestablish just where this universe went wrong.
It should be interesting to see if they try and connect it to the Unkillables line, too.
Yeah, I'm curious about that as well.
Because, I mean, Deathstroke is actually probably one of my favorite. I don't want to call him a villain, even though he technically is.
He's a mercenary.
He's a mercenary. Yeah, he's my favorite version of that kind of character ever. Because he is helpful to an extent, but he's always out for himself at the end. And if they push that line into the planet of death thing, you'd probably see a clash of interesting ideals happening there with him and Wonder Woman and all that stuff. So,
mm-hmm. No,
it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Well, and DC is definitely pushing the envelope. Marvel's just kind of
coasting.
Stagnant. I mean, there's really, Marvel's really not got a lot going on. It's weird.
Well, the Empire thing is, hopefully, will be something. I'm hoping the Empire thing will be something.
I am too, because maybe I'm just itching for a good cosmic story, or maybe to see the Fantastic Four do something. But
oh god, yeah, that'd be amazing.
I have a fear. I mean, how many Kree Skrull wars can we have?
Right now.
Well, supposedly this is going to be the final thing.
Yeah, that's what they said last time.
How many finals has Marvel had? I'm just curious.
How many what?
How many final? This is going to be the final. Has Marvel done?
Roughly every 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I really think it just feels more recent than that. It feels like it's...
Well, the last one was the Skrull Invasion, which some books...
Wait,
where... Spider-Woman we had.
Smurf, I do... out there for a bit.
Uh-huh, I'm here.
Okay, you were cutting out there for a bit. I missed what you said about the Skrull Invasion.
Well, I mean, for the longest time, we didn't know which Spider-Woman we had, whether it was her or a Skrull. So, I mean, some of the titles were good. Some of them were not so good. So,
I will say the most interesting, to me personally, the most interesting thing in Marvel Comics right now is the potential of the Black Reign idea. Yeah. With Galactus finally kind of having to be subservient to something else.
Yes. And that was in Thor last week.
Yep. That's a definite pickup for me. I love Thor, so I don't know. I love the way they're doing it.
Yes. I mean, I was sad to see Jason Aaron go, because he's just been on point with that title for years.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
But we get Thor back with both his arms, a new sparkly hammer, and if you can find that last issue from last week, 2 weeks ago, pick it up, because it's already jumped up, because Black Reign, it's his first, or Dark Reign, it's his first appearance.
So, yeah, Dark Reign, my bad. I said Black Reign. Yeah.
That Black Reign is a Michael Douglas film.
There you go. But yeah, the Dark Reign storyline is really cool. And there looks like they're kind of going all in on the cosmic idea on that one, which should be fruitful, hopefully.
Might see some cosmic heroes for a change. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that's how they end up bringing the
Super Bowl. Focusing so much on the teasers for their cinematic universe, they haven't really been focusing on the comic books anymore.
Well, I mean, they've kind of departed in some areas. I know one of the recent releases is about Rocket, and James Gunn had already gone on record saying that the third Guardians movie is going to be a wrap for Rocket's story. So that completes his arc, and that was his plan. How we're going to see that, and if we're going to actually go to the planet. Yeah, if we go to Rocket's planet, that's going to be awesome. I cannot wait, because there's a bunch of little critters running around, and you got the robot clowns, and if they bring in the robot clowns, I'm losing my shit. I'm in. I can't wait, but I'm hoping that is
terrifying as far as like a creation or creator, whatever, in a movie than anything that Marvel has done so far. Little robot clowns running around. Do you have any idea how many people will be fucking terrified?
I know. And it makes such good sense, because they need just like a high volume villain. They just need like a lot of numbers coming at them, and I can't think of anything better than the robot clowns just attacking. Be perfect. Yeah.
That is just creepy and mean, Smurf.
I'm telling you.
It'd be funny though.
Oh yeah.
And we know take out of it.
And we know Stash loves clowns. Or Stash is not, he's not listening.
No, I'm here. Sorry, my phone is being super weird and I'm trying to figure out what it's doing. No, I love clowns. Clowns don't scare me. It's like they're just annoying when they're actually clowns and not psychopaths trying to kill people.
You said you love clowns. I don't believe that anyone loves clowns. We tolerate clowns.
I love clowns in silent films and old films.
Working with clowns.
Oh my god, you've worked with clowns?
How was that?
I've produced so many variety shows. I have worked with a number of clowns, each one worse than the next.
Well, yeah,
I know one person who actually is a clown. He was in, how can I even remember her name anymore?
You know a couple of people who are clowns, because you know a couple of the clowns that I've worked with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Did they go to, like, clown college?
I know one of them did.
Two of them actually did, yes.
Wow.
They are, like, officially trained and licensed clowns. Yes, there is a clown license.
That's creepy.
It's not that creepy. They're only clowns. Unless
just
they have a machete.
Just keep telling yourself that.
Clowns have never been the thing that scare me, though. That's children.
What about a child clown?
And a large percentage of the population, horrifying. Stash. Do you have any
people
who are actually afraid of clowns?
I'm sorry?
Do you know how many people are actually afraid of clowns?
I would say a fair margin.
Like, it's not just children. A ton of people are afraid of clowns.
See, we can get, like, the Children of the Corn dressed up as clowns, and they can just all show up at your doorstep.
I've got a lock on my door. I'll be fine.
Uh-huh. You think that now.
And I have an escape route from my house. I'll have you know.
They're little kids. They'll find you. Gabe will catch you.
Why are you trying to scare me with
like
clown children?
Of Americans have the actual debilitating phobia of clowns. 8% of Americans.
That seems like an incredibly high amount.
8%?
8% of the total U.S. population?
Yes.
That is so many people.
That makes sense to a certain extent.
8% of the United States population.
I don't know. That sounds about right. I mean, 8% seems manageable. Realistic.
Yeah. So it's technically it's 7.9, but I'm rounding up because you can't have a 0.9% of a person. Yeah, so like if you have 100 people in the room, 8 of them are going to shit themselves if a clown comes in.
Well, that would be a solid deterrent for clowns' continuous presence.
I'm just saying, that, my friends, is math.
Oh, that's good.
Numbers are funny.
All right. So, random complete aside, guys, what is like a cheesy horror movie that you love?
Cheesy. Define cheesy.
Yeah, that would help.
Terrible special effects. The acting is terrible. We're talking like.
Oh, ice spiders.
Sorry?
Ice spiders.
That's not a horror, though.
It's supposed to be scary.
Is it? Or is it just supposed to be like action-y suspense?
I don't know. It has spiders that are the size of a school bus. You're telling me that's not supposed to be terrifying?
Eight-Legged Freaks wasn't designed to be scary.
Actually, that's what I was just about to say. Eight-Legged Freaks and Dreamscape.
I mean, nothing beats Evil Dead for me.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah. That's not terrible. That's just campy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Ice Spider is fucking hilarious because when you watch that, the spiders actually like slide around on the ice. It's funny yet scary.
But okay, Evil Dead is bad. Evil Dead 2 is campy, just because they remade the Evil Dead. So I'll give that. I side with Fox on that one because Evil Dead is just bad.
I'm gonna go with Tales from the Hood.
Oh,
that is awesome. That's a good movie.
How about Tales from the Crypt when we were like watching Nick at Night?
The Crypt Keeper.
I love Tales from the Crypt.
Anybody? That was cheesy and sometimes scary, depending on how late it was and whether or not you were home alone.
And your age being under 8.
Well, I mean, you got like Hellraiser. I mean, that got cheesy as it went along.
Unfortunately, because that still had the best lore of any horror series.
Yeah.
Well, it was a supremely dark series of anything. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, what was the one? Is it Tales from the Crypt with Dennis Miller and Billy Zane? They had like the back-to-back movies?
The Hood did that.
Yeah.
Like, it was a series of, like, shorts.
Yeah, but Dennis Miller wasn't in that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to make me find out?
Well, at least if he was, I don't remember it. I just remember the puppet slaves was the most abrasive thing I've ever seen, I think, in a horror movie, to be honest.
Well, you got Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, there's Dead Sushi.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's a classic. No one's seen that besides me and my friend who bought it for me. I'm sorry, Bobby?
Sharknado.
That's not a horror.
Sharknado is not a horror.
It is to anybody who's not ever going to get those hours back in their life.
Well, that's just because you don't know how to properly appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Stash. I don't properly appreciate it.
It's all right. I only hit you for it a little bit.
How about Deathbed?
I did the Sharknado sunglasses, didn't I?
That's true, you did.
Okay, so I still love you.
I still love you as well. Even if you can't appreciate quality cinema.
Okay, speaking of cinema, there was an article that came out last week. I'm just kind of jumping backwards. There's a bunch of Walmarts that are closing because of all of the stuff that's going on, COVID and blah, blah. So there's 160 of them that are transforming their parking lots into drive-in theaters over this summer.
Brilliant. Good tactic to increase the revenue.
So I know that we've talked before about drive-in theaters and how there aren't that many in the U.S. anymore. You know, unless you go out and hold on to nowhere. But there's going to be 160 new drive-ins this summer alone just from Walmarts.
I mean,
I hope drive-in thing.
Yeah, I hope they keep them around for a while.
Oh my God, that is a Tales from the Crypt. Bordello of Blood with Dennis Miller.
Oh, there you go. I don't think I saw that one.
It is amazing. And so bad. Corey Feldman's in it.
That says a lot.
But yeah, it's in that series of...
crazy horror movie. Find anything with Corey Feldman in it.
Yeah, the other Tales from the Crypt with Billy Zane, I can't remember, but he's like this demon, and it was awesome. Loved it.
Have you guys heard of that? Oh my God, I'm going to have to look it up. Now I can't because it'll kick me out of the chat. Corey Feldman put out the world's worst album, I think, in 2019.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, what is it called?
Oh, that was stupid.
All of the words like 2 and 4 are replaced with the numbers, and like, oh my god, he does like live performances, and like, oh god, it's bad.
People are allowing him to do live performances of that album.
Oh yeah, they are.
Angelic to the core.
Angelic to the core.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Snoop Dogg is on one of the songs, because Snoop Dogg will show up wherever there's money.
No, he'll show up where there's ever weed. Money is just, you know, an option.
Well, he uses the money for weed. But it is a horrifying album. I've actually listened to it. I don't know why. It is two completely different shitty albums in one box of crap.
And it's so long.
And both of them are terrible. Like, it's a legitimate double album, and both of them suck.
I don't know to applaud you or be terrified for you for the fact that you said you've actually listened to that album.
I had to, just because I heard it was crap, so I was like, it can't be that bad. And I listened to it, oh, it's not bad. It's the
you
worst
listen to the ever. Whole thing?
I listened to the whole thing.
Oh my god, how are you still alive?
Oh, trust me, I swallowed it a couple times. And he tries so many different things in it too. He tries to be a crooner on one of the songs. He does like a country song. He does like a Bruce Springsteen inspired song. You're like, oh god, just... You're killing every form of music all at once. Why are you doing this?
So he's basically dabbled in every phase possible.
Oh, yeah. And he does. He mixes, like, the synth mixes and just random noise pops and, like...
Do you think he was making it intentionally bad?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He has no self-awareness.
Yes.
Like, you remember in middle school where you had to do, like, a slideshow presentation? And you put just like the most obnoxious sound effects and giant like letters that are all colorful and everything. Just
right,
to...
and he like would make it spin in just because you could.
Yeah, he did that with a music album. That's what he did.
Oh my god.
He added it because he could. That's what happened.
Well, you know, hey, if you have the money to just, you know, blow on something like that, why the fuck not?
I don't know if he has the money for that.
Yeah, we have the room after all, so who... clearly there's a place for that in the world.
The Room is a much better album than Angelic to... The Room is a much better movie than Angelic to the Core is an album.
Oh, yeah. Not even close.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Shit.
It is legitimately the most brutal. Like, okay, I'm telling you, it's a double album. It literally, disc one is Angelic Funkadelic, and it's a dance album.
I love that name.
Disc two is Angelic Rockadelic, and it's a rock album.
If you can call it that.
No, I'm saying that's what it's called. I'm not saying that's what it is. Yeah, it is legitimately the worst music I've ever heard, ever, at any point in time in my entire life. And I've listened to
that. That is impressive.
But it's he got John Lennon to write one of the songs, so I guess that's interesting.
It's amazing what people will do for money.
But also
that's
Fred
very
Durst
true.
One of the songs. That has to be
sorry,
said.
Did you say John Lennon?
John Lennon was already dead.
Oh, no, he sampled...
John Legend?
No, John Lennon. That's the thing. He sampled Working Class Hero. And basically rewrote the song.
Oh, so okay. That makes more sense. Because I'm like, John Lennon would have been...
Oh, no, obviously he didn't write it now.
Dead.
Sorry about that. No, he took a John Lennon song... and turned it into a pile of crap.
Well, that's kind
Fred
of...
Fred Durst is on there. Yeah. Fred Durst has a cameo appearance in one of the songs, too.
Oh, there's a perfect form pile of crap for a career right there.
You know what, Tank? I think we need to put the link to this album on our website.
No, we don't.
I don't think you should do that to your website.
We don't. No, we don't. No, we don't.
Well, we really don't need to subject our listeners and fans to this?
No.
I mean, not recommended. If you want to consider, you know...
If we want to lose followers, then maybe?
Yeah, if you want to consider, like, eating a bullet or swallowing a pair of scissors or something like that, then yeah, sure, listen to it.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps up this week.
Sorry, I ended it on a downer.
And on that bombshell, our PSA, don't run with scissors or listen to Corey Feldman albums. What? Fox, go ahead.
I was just going to say I had a good time with y'all.
Yes. We had a good time as well. If you had a good time at home, please let us know. Drop your comments in the line below. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Give us a share. Give us a comment. We'll work off of anything you give us because we are the nerds that know. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.